Blog Talk Radio.
The dead are not remembered in the cycle of slavery's horrors. We look for them in novels, graveyards, histories, plays, and films, searching for the closest version of heroes and sheroes who boldly fought for freedom during the diaspora's most iconic fate of black struggle. Yet we recoil at the bloodied, naked, castrated, decapitated, starved bodies, burned flesh, mangled limbs, half-bald slaves, scarred in their souls by the pain of bondage. If the dead are remembered, how are they remembered? And if the dead are indeed celebrated among present and future generations, who are the dead that we remember? The consequences of history loom ever present, forcing the more difficult question. In remembering some of slavery's dead and long gone, who do we in turn permit to become, or perhaps to remain, historically forgotten? Left alone, unspoken about, denied, and thus abandoned as a necessary aspect of human history worth remembering, the terrorizing moments of suffering become generationally forgotten. Growing tendencies of avoidance in educational or curricular changes and the production of historical narratives without the very real, violent, painful, and lucrative process of slavery at sea erodes the memory of the dead. The debasement and violent, brutal making and marking of slaves on ships, as expressed and produced through the Middle Passage, for some offers, quite simply, nothing value worthy to remember. To be sure, devoid of the loyal, long-standing black house servant, cross-racial friendships forged between the children of slaves and masters, the faithful and ever cheerful slave musician, abolitionist involvement, or jubilant narratives of freedom. The Middle Passage instead offers a multi-centuried history of racial terror. Terror, however, does not produce kindness, nor kind stories that many choose to acknowledge, celebrate, or memorialize. To know is to awaken and acknowledge, repair, and restore meanings of the past while silences maintain the unawakened and uninformed. What responsibility do we bear in acknowledging and remembering the Middle Passage, if at all? We observe and participate in these histories through active learning and acknowledgement of the past. However, what dead do we remember, and how do we best remember and memorialize their living? Taken together, the testimonies of a much larger scale of devastation, bloodshed, and heartbreak matters little when the meaning and the memory are inscribed into silences surrounding the alchemy of horrors that slavery at sea produced. Following ships' arrival into the Atlantic seaports, the operative needs that fueled the global cycle of a slaving industry and of violence of slave ship became merely adapted in the next phase and the next force of commercial disruption and displacement of imported slaves, but this time on land.
Good evening. Hello, hello, hello. This is the one and only in the wizard. This is Dr. Shawande Mustakim. How you doing? I'm back on the airwaves and just really excited about this way of engaging the entire globe at the same time, in real time, in past time, in future time, whenever you catch me. And I thought today that we would talk about that two times thus far and all the beautiful ways, award-winning book, Slavery at Sea, Terror, Sex, and Sickness in the Middle Passage, published in 2016. with the University of Illinois Press. So you, in the opening, what you heard was something very original. Yes, it was me, and it also was connected to the book. I produced one of the only academic book soundtracks. And in so saying that, that means that I was in the band, i.e. doing drumming and reading from the book with drums with my band, as well as producing this soundtrack. I love how people will try to tell you that you're not the first. I am. And if there's somebody else, and they can just go ahead and promote theirs as well, because Slavery at Sea is a must read. It's a must read for many reasons, but most especially to understand the process that landed people of African descent throughout the African diaspora. I am so grateful that I wrote it. I really am. It was the hardest book ever to write, and my life has changed through it, with it, because of it. I was the channel, and I'm glad that I was. Wow. I'm just like really taking all this in, because as I was preparing to come on, which is really just following my spirit, I went to Amazon to go look how many reviews do I have. Now there's some politics in that conversation, but we'll get to that another day. But I have a few reviews, and we got 75% 5-star. Woohoo! 11% 4-star. And then somebody gave me, and then there's some 2-stars. Weren't they kind? All right, so we'll just look at these headers. A must have. I loved this book. 5 stars. This prize-winning book is a must read. A must read for anyone interested in the history of slavery. The use of terror to sustain human slavery. Great, great book. A fantastic and important new book on the Middle Passage. That came from the United Kingdom. Very interesting. Yeah. But you know, there's also the other low vibrational reviews that we won't even give any energy to at all. Next. I thought it'd be pretty cool for some of you all to hear what other people are saying, because I can tell you, and we're going to get into that, but we got the Civil War News wrote, Slavery at Sea does an excellent job describing the importance of the Middle Passage, as well as forcefully rejecting the notion that slave subjugation began upon arrival in America. Excellent research, a clear and engaging literary style, and an appropriate use of primary source material. Recommend this book for the student of the Atlantic slave trade or the historian who desires new insights into the manufacturing process of slavery. Again, that was Civil War News. Next, Huffington Post. Musa King's groundbreaking study offers provocative new insights into how gender, health, age, illness, and the medical treatment intersect with trauma and violence and transform human beings into the world's most commercially sought commodity for over 4 centuries. Again, Huffington Post. An intensely social history of the transatlantic slave trade, Musa King consciously centers her narratives on the very young and old, women and the infirm, to demonstrate the ways in which there was no one middle passage. The Junto? A compelling and original argument that makes a fundamental contribution to the history of slavery in colonial British America, William & Mary Quarterly. Slavery at Sea is a welcome book because it provides a more sustained account of the deprivations and indignities inflicted upon enslaved Africans by European capitalists and their collaborators in Africa than virtually any other book. Criminal Law and Criminal Justice Book Review. In Slavery at Sea, Musa King writes with power and heart, offering a deeply intimate narrative of the experience of dehumanization and the undeniable awareness that nothing good came from this history, Journal of American Culture. Musa King does a remarkable job exploring the untold and overlooked stories of the most marginalized of the Africans. Her work challenges many prevailing assumptions and offers an insightful alternative contribution to our understanding of slavery at sea, the Journal of American History. Woohoo! A tremendously important contribution to understanding of the Middle Passage. And then we also, yeah, we got the 3 that are on the back of the book, which I'm so grateful because we got, oh, beloved Professor Barbara Krautheimer, Beloved. Professor Marcus Rediker, Beloved. Oh, Professor Jim Downs, who all graciously took time to put beautiful endorsements on the book on the back of the book. So this book came out, and it has transformed conversation. It is a game changer. I was told that. Took me a little while to believe it. It is for real. It has become a game changer, and there are many times I look at it like, wow, this, I wrote this. I did this. The one and only Dr. Shawnee Musikeen wrote this. And I opened the book in a very interesting way. I want you to hear with the dedication we got. This is not about me. This is to serve as the channel for the stories to come through. And I dedicated the book, as I wrote, for the centuries of women, men, children, and sages whose collective lives will be infinitely remembered. You know, this entire book, it really is a puzzle, but it's about those who really get into it. You will get so much. But I open in a unique way. This book is marked by death on all sides through many forms and unexpected moments. Writing about slavery and terror while living with the unending cycles of death does not make for an easy living. And that was the truth. I was taking care of my mother, a 5-time stroke survivor. I was up for tenure and teaching, and my whole life in many ways was just spiraling and what felt like it was just falling apart. And I would somehow produce this book through that. And in fact, it became channel. And I say I'm a channel, but I was rechanneling the energy so I could shift the energy from my pain to begin to look at someone else's pain and historically to look at how humans have inflicted pain upon each other and what is what and where and how does that look like? What can that look like? What did it look like? And so the book goes from the point of capture to the point of sale. And people are reading it all over the world. Surprising to me, and yet at the same time, I'm honored and so excited. Oh, my gosh. Yay! Because I worked hard. I wrote hard. I wrote smart. I showed up regularly. I dug deep. I went to 25 archives across the world. There's an index that's amazing. There are notes. There's a bibliography. It's well written. I really took historical writing to the next level, or at least that was my intention. Of course, everybody doesn't like it, and that's fine. But I know students in my classes have to read it. I use it every single semester because I wrote this book to fill a void, and it is filling a void. It's still... And it's sort of like it just came out. So amazing to me. So here it is. That I can say that my book is available at the National African American History Museum. What in the world? Yeah. If somebody had told me that 20 years ago, I would have totally lied. Really not believe them. I mean, when you hear some of the stuff that I heard along the way, you don't sort of see the success coming out, but you just got to keep your nose to the grind. And that's where I was all the time. It was my world. It's my life. And I made it. I really took my writing to the next level. I'm amazed at how people are responding to and telling me how beautifully written it is. I feel like it is. There's some really powerful sentences in there. There's just a lot going on in a perfect way that was just like all divinely orchestrated. And I'm really looking forward to engaging with people more in the future. In fact, I'm going to have an ongoing sort of standing appointment with the public. We could talk about this book. Who knows what will come? This is amazing. We'll see. It'll be something like, I don't know, Flavor at Sea Saturday or SAS Saturday. I know one thing, you'll know about it. This book is a must-read. And hey, look, yes, there's a book soundtrack. Who cares about the Amazon reviews? I guess I'm lucky to even have one. I mean, I teach my students, like, it's hard out here for black women. We're lucky to even get one review, let alone book reviews. Book reviews, Amazon reviews, and mine has been continuously reviewed. Now, I look forward to even more. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And it was written with heart and passion and real, just no days off, like real grind. And only those who've been close to me know what that grind is and what that grind can look like. Because I don't play. Trust me, I'll outgrind anybody. That means that I will work hard. But you won't even know when I'm working. Because I'll always let people sort of believe that I'm not doing anything, all the while I could be over here publishing 2 books. By the way, I did publish 3 more books after Slavery at Sea, but that's another conversation. So back to Slavery at Sea. Wow. I'm just glad. I'm grateful. All the different classes that I've Skyped into, all over, just everywhere, all the conferences and symposium and future things that are coming, the awards that continue to come, just support. And forward to even more. This is amazing. I'm inspired. I'm excited and inspired that it does so much for other people. Because this is a model, and yet there's still more. There's got to be more. So let it be a model and a doorway and an opener for others to continue the conversation. I look forward to it. Never thought I could change a field in a whole way and really, you know, shift the conversation. But, whoa, glad it was Mooster King. Showing up, showing up, showing up. You know, hard work does pay off. But, again, we're still just getting started. So if anybody thinks that, oh, you know, she's hit the pinnacle of her career. No, what in the world? You always expect more. I'm very ambitious beyond anything many people can ever imagine. So I use, you know, when I think about when you're pitching a book, you can't really imagine. You don't really know what it's gonna look like. You have hopes and wishes and thoughts and ideas. But now to hear that this book is being read everywhere. In fact, even one of my students he even threw out, what if the business school or business students were required to read your book, and what could that do to change the conversation? I thought to myself, in the future, I do hope that very progressive-minded business teachers actually will see value to use Slavery at Sea because it is based on the business model, this human manufacturing system that is based on warehousing, transport, and delivery. That's another reason why you all are seeing me here on my own platform, talking about my own book. I'm not begging anybody to see value in this book. I've had the door slammed on this book so much. There's some bookstores that won't even carry it. No, not interested. Keep it moving. You know? All right, I got you. So I'll be the one on the airwaves who totally could have advocated for you, but now I won't. You're lost. But anyway, back to, again, the rigor. What I'm really getting at is that I haven't been everywhere like a lot of authors have. And then part of that is because there's a lot of life that's happening around me. It's sort of like I'm really, a lot's changing, and I'm coming into a whole new part in the path with this book, and it's so exciting. Because I can see it is having such an influence in multiple directions. With students, faculty, you know, to hear that my book has really become more than an inspiration, which is like, whoa, this is like how we level up. Really? The one who was told that I was a horrible writer, didn't know how to write? Wow. But again, I wrote this book and I retaught myself how to write in a whole other way. I just listened to how the world told its own story. It's that easy and that hard. But we can do it. And these are the beginnings of Black history. and the ways to tell them effectively. And that's what Slavery at Sea intended to do, and it seems like it is doing so. So I may have said broadly all these different directions that this book can go, and it far exceeded that. I mean, it's being taught in medical history. It's being taught in a criminality course. And these are all mine that I'm talking about. This is also taught in Black women's history, in slavery and memory in American popular culture, in a terror and violence in the Black Atlantic course. Actually, my medical history course is called Medicine, Healing, and Experimentation in the Contours of Black History. And in fact, the only course in the country, the longest running course in the country, that trains medically minded or interested students pre-med school and pre-public health or grad programs or anything like that, to become more racially informed about the Black experience and this delicate relationship with the American medical profession. So it goes from the slave trade through to the contemporary period. So I'm teaching that now. And my students had to read the book. And I'm teaching terror and violence in the Black Atlantic. And in the fall, I'm going to be teaching this course called History, Murder, and the Archives. And this other course that I developed called Mapping the World of, quote, Black Criminality, which looks at the policing of Black communities as well as looking at the social history of Black crime. There's a lot of things that are coming. There's a lot that this book is beginning to open new doorways so we can begin to see and know. Because once you know, you can't unknow. And that's why I just wanted to really come on tonight and just remind people that if there's one thing, that's why I put must read in all caps. Slavery at Sea, Terror, Sex, and Sickness in the Middle Passage. It is the number one must read history book. I mean, it's voted essential by choice. It's just being read everywhere. And with it, through it, I really focused on, here's the history. Let's tell it. And let's tell it so, choosing the most horrifically gruesome story to make you feel, to make you cry, to make you want to throw that book against the wall, to really bring out emotions so then you can be better informed in conversations that try to not include any discussion of the Middle Passage. How dare you jump off the coast of Africa and try to jump into these most times southern plantations? Come on now. I need you to go a little deeper. You can't bypass the very process that landed and also led to and really solidified the making and unmaking. Yes, some people may not like that language. Get over it. It happens. Slavery and all of its toll of violence that was just exacted upon Black people over and over and over, their freedom was unmade. Their bodies were unmade. Their minds became complete, far from where they had been, i.e. free, healthy, trauma-free. So then that counters the argument that anybody, the best of the best, could ever be imported. Get out of here. So when people say, oh, can you tell me how they rose up and fought back? Yeah, well, but everybody didn't. And then what are you going to do, not talk about them? Well, they're going to be talked about in my book, and they are. And even though we may not have names that make people feel like it's real adequate history, here their names became numbers. Hey, number 32 died today. That matters to me. Number 32 had a moment in history, and I need to tap in. So in the future, with more conversations, there's so much that I can, that I really intend to engage and really open with the world about, hey, this really important book that people are reading, yes, in college, yes, for their own personal library, for everybody. It is a story. It's not even just a story. It is a collection of many testimonies of horror. You know, people tell me, oh, you know, I can't read your book. That's fine. That's fine. I lived with it. All you have to do is read it. But now it is telling those stories even more. Because, you see, there's a supernatural side to the story, too. Only those who read the book will get an understanding that, you see, there's certain words that were invoked in this book for the first time, ever in history. What did you see in the word shamanic? What? Never. Well, at least not in books that I've read. So the conversations are going to go there. I mean, people showed up from this book. People who died in this book, they showed up in my house. It looks like we got a lot to talk about there, don't we? Yeah. Slavery at Sea. Get on it. You should have already read it. Leave behind a whole lot of other people because over 4 years, people are reading this book. I'm getting invitations from all across the world. That 1 year alone, it just became overwhelming because it's like, whoa, this is a lot. And then trying to make sense of it and trying to be everywhere that I can, but then you realize you're human. You can't be everywhere. But this book was written so the ideas could move and filter across the diaspora, across the globe, across the planet. I hope the future of the future of the future of the future read this book. I hope at least the next 3 centuries that people are reading this book. Hey, why not even 5 centuries? Think of far ahead. Because you see, I always saw the future coming. I got what I prayed for. I asked for. I was very clear about it in my intentions that I wanted this book to be well known. I wanted it to be a world winning. I wanted it to be the must read that is being invoked, that is becoming its own groundbreaking marketing effort. Way that the cover draws attention anywhere that it is. I'll end, or rather begin. We've got a journey ahead of us in these conversations. If you want to hear more, definitely look me up. I'm the one and only Dr. Shawnee Musa King. I'm not hard to find at all. But yeah, Slavery at Sea. Remember that. There's the book. There's the book soundtrack. People teach both. This is a whole new level. This is a whole new day. And I should tell you that my name, my first name means a wise healer. My last name means straightforward on the path. So you can definitely recognize that it's going to be direct and live and direct about Slavery at Sea. This book matters. And if it matters that much, then the conversations are going to keep going. And it does matter. So look for more. Look for more Black history. Look for more talk. Look for it. Just expect the unexpected with Musa King, with this Musa King, Dr. Shawnee Musa King. Wherever you are in the multiverses, wherever you are in the planet, wherever you are, may you see value in Black history. May you see value in learning and reading and going deeper. I end here, and I say I'll talk to you soon, perhaps sooner than you can imagine. But go ahead. If you haven't ordered it, if you haven't read it, get on it. It's available on Amazon, or you can call, or you can go to University of Illinois Press site. You can get it. You can even contact me if you want to order, get a signed copy. I'm happy to. We can do PayPal. You can, yeah, all kinds of people contact me. Anyway. Again, I am the one and only in the wizard, Dr. Shawnee Musa King. Have a fantastic moment, experience, wherever that you are. Be in touch. Love Black history. Love reading. Keep it going. We need to have a smarter future than we got going on right now, y'all. Okay, I am Dr. Musa King. Peace out, y'all.